Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have Stuart Wiggins from Induna Advisors, where he brings resources together to help your business scale. I have Karen Loomis. She is a marketing and branding expert in Arizona. She works primarily with small businesses, nonprofits, and she is adamant about social change. I have Annette Richmond, personal branding, executive resume, and creating a compelling LinkedIn profile. The question I have for you today, how do you notice when someone is lonely? Karen, can you kick us off?
I think it's a really compelling question to use that word again, based on the fact that the three of us that are on here with you as guests are all branders, which means that we should have our fingers on the pulse of the emotions of our clients, their businesses, and know how to help them make the right decision. Having that level of ability to kind of look into and look around what they're saying and kind of figure out where they might be emotionally, understanding people, having that high emotional IQ really helps you kind of pick up on some of these little things that you maybe might not notice if you didn't have the high IQ. And that simple things like somebody could just be having a casual conversation with you. For example, I had a conversation with my mom the other day, and she was talking about how she felt about COVID and that she didn't come out and say she was depressed, but all the words said she was depressed, right? Some people won't come right out and say it. They'll talk around it. And so you have to really pick up on those details and acknowledge that feeling that they might be having. That's the first step, is you have to be able to be aware.
Well, I'll jump in here. There's a lot of variables involved with this. And the first thing I would say is define lonely, because you have to know a person. Some people just like to be alone. It helps them gather their thoughts. Is that really loneliness, or is that being introspective? I do agree with Karen that you have to have a high degree of EQ to be able to know people. The way I approach this is in the work environment. Because you spend the most time with these people, but these are the people that maybe you know the least personally, no matter how much you communicate with them. So that's where that real high EQ has to step in. So some of the things I've done in the past is you go into the lunchroom, and if you see the same person sitting by themselves, eating by themselves all the time, that could be a buy sign. So what I've done in the past to get around that is anybody who's new, they get assigned a quote unquote friend, call them a chaperone, for 2 to 3 weeks. Somebody they can sit down and have lunch with. Somebody they can talk to. I think it's important to be able to walk around in the workplace and get to know people. And you kind of clue in on the loneliness. And you have to make yourself available to other people to say, you need to have a conversation with so-and-so because I think there's something going on. I'm not sure. So that's where I like that piece about the high EQ. But you have to really define what lonely is, I think, before you step to the premises of what's next.
Yeah, I lived for a long time by myself and I loved it. I was not lonely. People who are uncomfortable being alone, I think, may see someone living alone, being alone, and feel that they're lonely when really they're not. But one of the things that you mentioned, Karen, about people talking around it, I talk to a lot of people and I hear them talking about in the time of COVID being home all the time and being so eager to get back to the office. And I think that people that I know, I am very happy working from home, but a lot of people, they want to be in that office. They don't want to be alone. They want to be around other people. And so that's what I hear a lot of.
And I think there's different kinds of lonely. So I started Quick Hits because I was intellectually lonely. I missed having interesting conversations with people. And so I created an environment where I could have interesting conversations with people. So I think that there's different ways that people can be lonely too.
Defining what loneliness is, I think people make the mistake of thinking if you are alone, you might be lonely. And that's trying to draw differences, is that being alone does not mean you're lonely.
And being with people doesn't mean you're not.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. No, that's a good point too, because there's nothing worse than being with people that you're not on the same plane with, not necessarily just intellectually, but where there's a I desire stimulating conversation. I think we had this conversation not too long ago about, do we or do we not like small talk? Right. So to me, I don't want that small talk to continue to for too long, because that's lonely to me.
I almost think that there's a gender and age specific element to this. You know, I look at family members who are younger, and we talked about COVID. My younger family members, say like in their mid to late teens, early 20s, they seem to struggle more during with COVID because they didn't have that social interaction. Whereas they're like closer to my age, they tend to be more comfortable in the solitude of COVID. Yeah. So maybe you develop some coping mechanisms as you age so that you can adapt to that loneliness. But that's just my hypothesis.
But I also know, Stuart, because I know you personally, you have people you can call and have really stimulating conversations with on the phone. And those friendships are developed as we get older and have more time with people. So is it that you're better at coping with loneliness, or is it better that you have better tools because you have people you can call when you're lonely and say, hey, let's argue about something?
I was thinking that as well. I have several friends who have teenagers who really struggled during COVID. They were in their senior year of high school, and they were really wanting to be with their friends and not being able to experience the activities they had been looking forward to, like the prom and graduation. But mm-hmm. I'm also wondering if that age group, although I agree that we do develop those coping mechanisms, if it is tied to having that sort of peer relationship where you are learning from your peers and sort of growing along with them.
What's interesting though, so when I started teaching college kids at the beginning of this year, even though it was a class for juniors and seniors, there was a lot of sophomores in there. A lot of it was the first time being on campus because of this. One of the things that I noticed is how they don't interact before class starts. They have not learned how to actually interact with people. And so they have a phone that should allow them to interact and have those relationships, but that shows you that maybe that interaction at the digital level sucks your soul kind of, you know what I mean? Like maybe it's just not giving them enough. Whereas as we get older and mature, we have a variety of resources that kind of fill in that void per se.
Well, I can certainly say that now at this point, I can have a really good conversation with somebody I know really well via text. If you had asked me to do that when I was in my 20s, I would not have had the communication skills to do that effectively.
Well, again, these kids grew up on the phone. So if they can't communicate with their text, that means they probably not know how to communicate face to face, right? So we've kind of taken all those things that we do as human beings, which is look at facial expressions, nonverbals, tone, all this stuff. It's lost. There's no emotion involved in that.
Yeah. I got to be honest with you. I look at younger people, and this isn't about younger people, but they just don't smile. I'll be candid. I went to a graduation party, and the person that the party was for, she didn't really smile. She wasn't conversational. Okay. And I was reminded when I graduated from high school, it was a social event. So Are they not getting the social skills? Is that loneliness? I almost think that loneliness can apply as you develop your skills of socializing. It becomes more profound as you get older, or you're lonely as you get older, if you learn to deal with it, but also maybe you never learn to deal with it. So as you get older, you become lonelier and lonelier. My dad, he was alone after my mom died. My dad would call me and just wouldn't hang up the phone just to talk because he didn't have anybody to talk to. And I know older people like that. So I don't know if there's degrees in loneliness based on your chronological age.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm loving Zoom.
I was just going to say, when you talk about Zoom, I love that too. One of the pluses of COVID for me was the opportunity I had through various social media platforms to meet people all over the world. And I now have friends that I get on a Zoom with maybe once a month or so in New Zealand. And so it just opens up this whole different world for me. But it's funny when you're talking about that, Stuart, because I was just at a college graduation party a couple of weeks ago. And maybe it's because they were all away at college. They were all at Boston U and they were roommates and friends. They were the complete opposite of what you were describing. Mm-hmm. And so I just wonder if it's a different environment. Maybe if they were graduating college where maybe the group that you were talking about was a little younger and had just been home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. The younger people, because I was compelled to ask a question. Why don't people smile? It's hard to pigeonhole any of this because each group and each development is different.
Yeah. And that is our 10 minutes. So I'm going to cut us off there. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me. Like I said, quick hits help with my intellectual loneliness. So I have you to thank for that. And I look forward to speaking to each of you again really soon.